Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
11 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in 20 minutes. A new survey is out on something. I think we can all relate, but I'm just wondering if this is actually what you guys would have done in the situation as well. So that's coming up during the trash of the day. You guys can always hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. So we were talking about the Royals yesterday, and we were discussing where the offense is at, but also where they're at in the AL Central and just how competitive this division is. And even though it's early May, it's something that people are checking in on. And anytime nationally I've seen people discuss the AL Central, they've said, yeah, these teams are all winning records, four winning records and all this, but the strength of schedule in that division is terrible. So I said, let me look this up and what is left for the Royals and for some of these other teams. And we got a long ways to go in a 162 game schedule.
I'd say so.
The Royals, the rest of the way, as it currently sits off of strength of schedule, they have the fifth toughest schedule remaining in all of baseball. Okay. They have the toughest schedule of the winning teams in their division. The White Sox have the toughest schedule in baseball, but sorry, Chicago.
Chicago.
Colorado has the second toughest.
Oh, God, what the hell?
Well, it's because they're playing everybody's better than them, too.
I know, but like,
they're not playing themselves, Cody. That's why. It's because they're not playing themselves. Third is the Angels. Fourth is Cincinnati. Fifth is Kansas City. The A's sixth. Other divisional teams, the Minnesota Twins have the ninth toughest remaining. Cleveland, 14th toughest. And Detroit, who has the best odds to win the AL Central, has the 23rd toughest.
Must have more games against Chicago.
Yeah, so here's the breakdown. The Royals, who have the fifth toughest schedule left, 119 games, I believe, is where we're at now. Dodgers for three, Mets for three, Tigers still for nine, Padres for three, Phillies for three, Yankees for three. Those are the toughest. Their easiest opponents left on the schedule. They still got nine against the White Sox.
Okay, that's 8-1 at worst.
Three against the Pirates. Three against the Marlins, three against the Nationals, six against the Angels, and three against the Tampa Bay Rays. Obviously, that can change based off of everybody's wins and losses the rest of the way. But they have the fifth toughest schedule. So this whole knock on the Central, it's all going to balance out, as it always does. The fifth toughest schedule the rest of the way. They're gonna have plenty of opportunities to prove themselves for those that are skeptical about can they beat good teams. That's why last night was nice to see them beat an Astros team who, by the way, I think they have the second easiest schedule the Astros do the rest of the way.
I mean, again, their division is weaker than the Central. The Central, part of the reason, this is the truth, part of the reason their schedule looks so tough, the Royals on paper, is because they have to face three winning teams a bunch more times. The Tigers have the best record in the American League, and they still got nine games left against them. And that was a team that handled them, I'll say, fairly easily. So did the Yankees the last time these two teams played against each other. And so it's not surprising to me that that would be the case. But as you said, well, they're good. By the time 162 games will up, we'll know that they earned it. Like, I know that sounds silly, but like by the time it's all said and done, we'll know that they earned it. And they took advantage of an easier part of the schedule because as it sits right now, when they've taken on the White Sox for some and the Rockies and all this other stuff, they're on pace to be between 94 and 95 win team, depending on which way you want to round. Between 94 and 95 wins. Okay. Well, now let's say that they fall off of that pace a little bit just due to the fact that their schedule is getting ready to be a little bit harder. Okay, well, then they're back down to 86, 87, 88, the same range they were last year. They are a very similar team from last year, other than they pitch significantly better. And I still believe that they will overcome a lot of those schedule stuff just as long as they eventually figure out how they're going to go about hitting. But I'm not going to pretend like having to still face the Dodgers, Mets, Tigers, Phillies, and Yankees is not nothing. I don't know. Like, I don't know how many total games that is, including the Tigers. It's like, what, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24 games remaining. I'd take 10 and 14 today. Like,
that's 24 of 119, right?
Yeah. So I'd take 10 and 14 against those teams right now and feel pretty confident. This is a 90 win ball club. That's the thing about difficulty of strength of schedule is a huge chunk of this is going to come against the Tigers. That's why they have the most difficult schedule. The Tigers had the best record in all of baseball, or maybe the American League. I don't think it's all of baseball. Maybe the Dodgers had the best record in all of baseball. Another team they face.
Yeah.
When you got that many games against a divisional opponent, you're going to wear it. I do not think the Tigers are an unstoppable force yet, because it's still early in the season, but they're tough.
I think a lot of it's other than the obvious
pitch.
Other than the obvious, which is health, the other thing that's going to come down to is which of the other teams in the Central are going to be willing to go and make the move for whatever their need is. And a lot of them are going to be on a bat, you know, because the Tigers pitching is very good. They might look for a bullpen arm, but the Tigers pitching staff is very good. The Royals, obviously, I don't think they're going to be looking for any arm. They've got what they need.
It's
going to be corner outfield or some other type of bat. So are they willing to go push the payroll if that's what's necessary later on in the season, in addition to maybe having somebody that they can call up from the minors? Of course, we're talking about Jack Caglione, but he's got to get to AAA first before you can even really have that conversation being realistic. You got to see him in AAA, I think, for a month at least before you can have a real convo about what
trade deadline's in July. If he gets to, like, my thought is if he gets to the minors or he gets to AAA by the end of May, I think a timeline you've thrown out around Memorial Day weekend. If he gets there by the end of May, he has all of June and all of July in AAA if needed before they have to make a call on the actual trade deadline gold. So to your point, they're still okay in that area. Look, this boils down to one very simple thing. The AL Central is the second best division in baseball. The West is the best. I'm not going to argue that. I'm sure the AL East would take some great offense that I did not call them the second best division in baseball. They're also good. Not saying that that's not a good division. There's plenty of good teams there. But the AL Central is going to be massively competitive the rest of the way. The real question for me as it relates to this is, how many teams can the Central actually get in the playoffs? Because let's just say they don't win the Central, because they are 2.5 games back and the Tigers had the best record in the AL. How many teams can the AL Central get in? Do you got to be the second best team in the AL Central? Or can you be the third best team in the AL Central again and find your way into the postseason?
Yeah, I'll say they got 3 in last year, you know, so that can't happen again. I think would be a little silly, but so much of this is going to become clearer once we get to much later on in the summer. I mean, we're not even at Memorial Day yet. And so whether it's due to injury or poor performance, you know, you find out, is anybody just off to a really good start? Like the Royals are at a point because they made the playoffs last year. You have a little more, as we said, when they have a tough week, I have way more faith now than ever over the last 5 years that they will bounce back. And I think everybody should based off of...
That's why we weren't panicking in the early part of this season.
Based off of what roster they have and the experience that they now have and all of that. Some other teams you look across baseball that maybe this is their first year that they're now performing at a higher level. Do we have faith that they will bounce back if they have a rough stretch? Now, in the Central, multiple teams, as we just said, made the playoffs last year. So the Tigers, who were unbelievable the final month or whatever it was of baseball last year, they have shown that they're probably not falling off. They're going to be in this thing the entire way. The question I would have still is Cleveland. I know the Twins just had won 8 in a row. I still don't think the Twins are going to factor into this by the time we're done. They're the fourth team in this convo. I still think the Guardians will be the team that falls off, and I think it ends up being narrowed down to a Royals and Tigers race for the AL Central later on in the year. But that is still based off my confidence that at some point they are going to find another bat outside the organization, in addition to maybe being able to call up somebody later.
I think that their original hope, probably because of what they've spent and I think just where their system was, they could use a year where they don't have to be burning major assets in order to acquire guys like Lucas Irsig. It worked. I don't regret that they gave up the asset. It's not that. But if this year could be solved with Raven Caglione, or if MJ, and I have not admittedly looked at how it's going in AAA, can be the fifth outfielder, the Orlando Gerard Dyson, hey, I'm on the team, I play when the matchup makes sense, I come in late as a defensive replacement. If he could be what you're talking about, that additional bat who might occasionally be able to put one out of the yard, maybe you can solve this thing in-house. That's my whole thing with Cags, and I mentioned yesterday, is get him to AAA so you know. That's all. Get him to AAA, get him some time there so you know. And then that way you know. But yeah, the strength of schedule stuff, I always thought that was kind of overplayed a little bit. Just knowing that right now, the division's probably got, I'm going to guess, the highest or the second highest winning percentage in the sport. Because the NL West is hurt by the Rockies' winning percentage, which absolutely tanks.
And the Central's hurt by the White Sox being pathetic.
But the Rockies are somehow 10 games worse probably than the White Sox right now.
The Rockies lost again last night.
Did they?
They're just absolutely abysmal.
What are they like on the money line? If I had just faded them every day.
I mean, it'd be a winning proposition every day, but also at some point,
The money you're giving up, the juice, is not as good.
Yeah. I mean, look, as we always say, even last year, the White Sox were horrifically bad. They still found a way to win like 40 games, didn't they? Or 38 games or something.
Yeah. That's such a low number.
To answer your question, though, about the Rockies, who are, I'm assuming, playing later on tonight. Yeah. The Rockies are 2-1. The Rangers are -245 to win tonight. So again, for those that don't bet, the Rockies, if you bet $100, you would win $200 if they win. For the Rangers, you would have to bet $245 for them to win for you to win $100. The Royals tonight, Bubic on the bump, taking on Valdez of the Astros. The Royals are +120. They're underdogs tonight.
But if I did that, if I was like the guy who did the NBA, the NCAA underdog thing, and I just bet the Rockies and I gave up the juice, $100 a game, I'd definitely be profitable this year. They are 7-34. Even giving up the juice, my profitability would be through the... I'd have won $3,400, and I would have, you know, like, right. I mean, I would have won... Let's just say I bet 100 flat every time, so I wouldn't even have won 100. I would have won, what, $50 every time I bet 100? What would my payout have been? If I had bet $100 on every game, win or lose...
I mean, the Rockies only have 7 wins, though, so... You know,
but I'm just saying I bet them to lose.
Oh, betting them
to
lose.
So $34, I bet $100 every time, and it's -234. So I would win $40 every time. So
And then 7 times you lost $100.
Yeah. So I'd be up around $600.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
I'd have won $1,300, and that's just assuming that it's -245 on average. Because sometimes it's probably only -100. And sometimes they're probably facing Paul Skeens, and it's -4.
Right.
You know, so I'm taking an aggregate.
Yeah.
This is what we could have done with the show fight.
Could have just spread it all the way around. We could have faded the Rockies all 162. We could have done that. We'll talk some more baseball later on in the show, but the NFL is slowly putting out the schedule. There'll be more announcements later on today, and then tomorrow night is the big schedule release show. What we do know, as we talked about earlier, and we'll talk more in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, is the Chiefs are playing on Christmas night again.
Boom.
3 straight years on Christmas Day, the Broncos will be at Arrowhead. We also learned the international slate today, except for the one in Brazil, which will be announced tomorrow, even though everybody at this point feels like it's going to be the Chiefs going to Sao Paulo, Brazil. But anyway, here's the rest of the international slate. In Dublin on September 28th, the Vikings are going to go play against the Steelers. Then the next week, the Vikings are going to London to play the Browns. The Broncos in October will go to play the Jets in London. The Rams will play the Jags in London in mid-October. Then in the first week, or second week, I guess it would be in November, the Falcons are going to Berlin to play the Colts. And then the last international game will be the first time, I think, ever the NFL's playing in Madrid. And the Commanders will go take on the Dolphins. So a couple intriguing matchups. Some of them, one of those where we'll see later on the year if it becomes better or not. The Vikings, though, are the first team, other than the Jags, who have done it for multiple years now, so the second team ever to play back-to-back international games. I'm trying to figure out why the Vikings are that team. They're playing
they
in
had
Dublin,
to have volunteered for
and
it.
Then they're playing in London in back-to-back weeks, which tells me, I'm assuming their bye week will be right after that, right? It has to be, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, usually.
So they'll have a week 6 bye this year.
So they'll have a week 6 bye and have to go overseas twice? That sucks. I don't even
with
know why
JJ
you'd sign
McCarthy.
Up for that. That's awful.
With a rookie, well, second year, but basically rookie quarterback playing 2 international games back to back. That's tough. And they're the road team for both. That's how they got him to do it. They agreed to be the road team for both.
That helps at least. I guess if you're looking at it from that perspective, if you're the Vikings, you're like, we don't have to go to Pittsburgh. That's a true road game.
Although in Ireland, it is going to be still, terrible towel city there in Ireland. The scene is going to be awesome.
But it's not Heinz, it's not like it's got a little less juice than normal because Minnesota fans travel okay too. Cleveland, I don't know that you're giving up much in the road department. Although they do got a good home crowd. That team just stinks.
By October 5th, that's only a month into the season. See, they needed that game later. If the first game for Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel was going to be in London, then there'd be more juice for that game. By October 5th, is it still Flacco?
Do we still look at this international slate and think that they're intentionally not putting very good games there? Like, because, well, I mean, look across the
Chiefs
board.
Have been
Chiefs
on the better
Chargers
ones.
Is pretty much one of the
Chiefs
better ones.
Chiefs Dolphins a couple years ago.
Steelers Vikings, meh. Cleveland Vikings, even more meh. Broncos Jets.
No, Justin Fields, no.
Pass. Rams Jags, nope. Anything involving the Jags, I'm disinterested immediately.
Unless Travis Hunter
Falcons,
is just doing amazing
Colts
things.
Falcons might be the worst. German pissed. Falcons Colts? I don't even know who the starting quarterback for the Colts is going to be.
Well, by then it might be someone different anyway. November 9th, by then they could have two.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson might have started
Commanders
by then.
Dolphins is somehow the second best of the entire international slate.
Yeah.
So, like, because at least if Tua is healthy, he plays good quarterback when healthy. That's the second best one outside of the first one with Chiefs and the Chargers. I don't know. This is the first time or the second time, I guess, in NFL history they've been in five different countries. I can't decide when the novelty will fully wear off. Like, we look at these schedules. It's interesting to me that the Vikings have decided to take on two of them. They're playing in Brazil and England and Germany and Spain. So, like, they are moving throughout the world. But at some point, I mean, do we just lose in Ireland? Do we lose the juice?
No, this is the beginning of it. That's the thing.
It's about to get worse.
There's going to be more and more international games as we continue to progress over the next couple of years. That everybody's going to eventually play international games every single season. That's where this is going. The part of when will people get sick and tired of it to the point where it hurts ratings is more of the question of when they extend out and all of a sudden they're playing 18 or 20 games. When they continue to put teams on every single holiday and all every day of the week and that kind of stuff,
Tuesday games?
Does the streaming services turn people off finally to a point where they're not willing to do it? You know, it's more of a television thing that eventually could be problematic for them if in fact people aren't able in their own market to access their home team. You know, that'd be where it causes a problem. And then if people are like, hey, 20 games is too many, I'm not interested in week 13 because I know I got seven more weeks to go. That's where it's a problem. Playing international, like, we don't have to like it. You know, I have my issue with divisional games on international games.
Do you like the 8 a.m. game, the 9 o'clock game?
So that doesn't bug me.
We're going to talk Christmas here in a minute. Yeah, so, like, I'm just
curious. That doesn't bug me. I've told you, you know, like,
it's fine. I feel like I'll take it or leave it. Like, I don't feel obligated to watch it, but if it's on, it's fine.
I watch every Thursday game too, right? So I'm different, but I enjoy waking up 7:30 or 8 on a Sunday. And then in a half hour or whatever, roughly, I've got football on. I just enjoy that. I don't have to, like, for me, I get antsy before kickoff at noon. Like, I love Sunday. I know you do too. It's like, let's get to the kickoff. You have fantasy football. You've got your bets. You've got everything else. You've got different shows you're doing. You're like, let's get to kickoff. And it's my favorite day of the week during football season. And the fact that I don't have to wait and watch crappy pregame shows on NFL and ESPN and Fox and all that, I can just watch the game. I would rather do that. And that's what we get during an international.
It probably took pre-kids and all that stuff. Certainly my consumption of it was different. Now I would say I've completely eliminated. I watch zero pregame television for the NFL. I don't watch a single pregame show, not on the networks, Fox or ESPN, not on NFL Network, whatever. So, like, I'd much rather watch football. You got a statistically much higher chance, Gold, of me tuning into that. I just treat them as, like, a treat. Like, you know, like how sometimes you want, like, an ice cream cone after dinner, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes I will watch the game, and it's on, and that's fine. Like, oops, I guess I'm watching Broncos Jets at 8:30 in the morning on October 12th. And other times, it's like I got stuff going on, and I'm like, I don't care. I don't care that the Jets are playing right now. I'll tune in to Red Zone at noon. Like, so I just kind of treat it as a, if I feel like it, football game. So it doesn't change or impact my schedule at all. And the Chiefs are so rarely at that time. And of course their one this year will be in prime time. So it'd be a nighttime game anyway to go with it. It's like, just treat it like a little bit. I'm still surprised the Vikings chose two in a row. That does still surprise me. I don't know why anybody would do that.
They're just trying to expand their brand, I guess.
Somebody says, imagine if the NFL put the Chiefs and Bills in the final game of week 17. High stake probability could be 19 degrees, snowy and windy.
Well, then,
is this game becoming Buffalo finally this year?
It's in Buffalo this year, yeah.
Buffalo.
You want to go make the trip?
January. Pass.
Not in December.
A trip to Buffalo, it sure as hell not gonna, it may be never anyway.
What about in September?
But it's not gonna
September in Buffalo would actually be, I think, a nice trip to go up maybe there and check it out.
I could be talked into September, watch people jump through tables. I'm not going in December or January.
We'll talk about this more tomorrow when we're the day of the schedule release, but tomorrow I'll ask you guys the game or the city that you're like actually keeping an eye on. For me, like, I want to see where that Tennessee game is because I might want to go to Nashville. And if, you know, I want to see where that Raiders road game is because
we might always be in Vegas.
And we need that Raiders game not to be Thanksgiving week. Thank you very much. Or Christmas week.
You just want to know straight up? Yeah, they can't be around a holiday. Yeah. We just need like a
Not the last week of the season.
Mid-October?
What do you think? Is that the sweet spot? October 9th. Boom.
I don't know.
Whatever day of the week that is. I don't know. Something like that, man.
Maybe it's a Monday night game this year. You never know.
That would also work. That would also be great. All right, Drew, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, so this one is a survey. The survey, I guess, took place in January, but the results are now being released. Okay. This is from Talker Research. They took a deep dive into thoughts and feelings of 2,000 dog and cat owners across the country. You own a dog. I own a dog. You've had cats before, right?
I've had cats and dogs my whole life.
You grew up with a dog. I know you don't have one now.
Did you guys ever have any hamsters or anything?
No.
Nope, that was a no.
No.
There were rabbits in our house for a little while when we were kids.
I had
some hamsters.
I had a fish tank at one point, some neon tetras and an angel fish at one point when I was little. That's about it.
Beta fish for a little bit, sure.
So anyway, they surveyed these dog and cat owners. What they found was 56% said they'd be willing to shorten their lifespan if it meant that their pet would live longer at their side. In addition, around the same percentage of pet owners said that the animal they adopted had literally saved their life in some way, shape, or form. So, look, I love my dog to death. She's starting to get up there in age.
Year for year. You die 1 year earlier.
She's 12, or soon to be 12, and she's doing all right, but, you know, she's getting older. We all know, unfortunately, dogs don't live 30 years. That's just the nature of how...
You got, like, a medium-sized dog,
That's just the unfortunate reality. There's no way that I am taking years off my life unless I know the end goal or the end date. Meaning, like, if you tell me that I'm living till I'm 95 and I got to shed 3 years off for my dog, I'll do that. 95, 92,
if
we're good.
If you knew the age, you'd be in.
But...
What if you die at 58?
Well, or you die if you know you're dying at 80 and all of a sudden you're knocking off 5 years. No, I'm not doing that. But if you tell me I'm living until I'm 97, what's 92 years compared to 97?
They'd have to put the numbers in front of me. I need the hard number.
Otherwise,
and that goes back to the same question. Like, if somebody could tell you today the exact age that you died, do you want to know?
The age?
Age. No. Not day and second.
Yeah.
Age.
I just want a range.
You're going to die between...
Give me a range.
70, like, you know, like they say, you're going to die between 81 and 89.
I just need a window. Or honestly, if it's above, just tell me, is it 80 plus or not? That's all. Guarantee me 80 plus.
80 plus, and you'll give your dog a couple years?
Yeah, guarantee me 80 plus.
Okay.
Like, someone says, I think this is like taking 40 years from you and giving them to your dog. No, I think they're just saying like
any amount of years.
It could be one. You're like, hey, one more year. 56% of people said they would do it.
I think the conversation's a lot different if it's like, I mean, again, I have pets, but like, I feel like when we adopt them, Zoe.
You know, I'm just saying.
Sounds so cold, but like when we make this deal, I understand this dog's not going to live my whole life.
So says, what's the pro to not taking the deal?
You know,
the pro to not taking the deal.
I don't know how many years of my life, I don't know how long I'm living.
The pro to not taking the deal is that you don't knock any years off your own life. That's the pro. The question is, what are you willing to sacrifice? And I'm saying, as much as I love my dog, I would maybe give a year or two up, but not if you knew that you were dying at 68, a very young death.
You're not giving them two more
and you're dying at 66. No,
I'm not saying I would do
it. But if you're dying, like he said, if you're dying at 99, you'd probably do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would do it, but I kind of vibe with the people who would do it just because if your dog means that much to you, like if it's like your...
Dude, I love my pets.
If it's just you and your dog is, or your pet is what like is helping you like keep alone, then I mean, I'm all for it. I think that's great.
My kid, Desmond, has been asking for a cat every day pretty much for like a month straight. He asks watch cat videos online. Now we're in. Eventually, we're going to have to get him a cat.
Are you going to wait till you have a dog?
No, I think we've had a dog and a cat together at the same time before. What I think will happen is we've at least pushed him off until we come back from out of town dance stuff.
Oh, wait, you're gonna cave this summer?
Dude,
you're
caving this summer? Dude, he wants a cat so bad.
Wow. Oh, you're talking about, I thought you meant
he wants
in the next
couple
years. He
wants a cat so bad. No, he asked to look at them online and stuff, dude. He wants to go into the pet store and look at them. No.
Oh, don't do that. The minute you do that, it's over.
We're getting a cat so soon, dude. I don't know. Like, inside the next 2 months, we will have a cat in our house. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
You're caving.
100%.
That quickly.
It's hard with kids with stuff like where they're like kind and nice about it. They're like, oh, and he asks about our dead cat a lot. Like, oh, God, man. He's like, I really miss her. I really miss Margo. That was the name of our old cat. You're like, oh, man.
Someone says their dog made it to 17 years old. That's incredible, by the way.
Wow.
My wife had a pet that said they would 19.
100% be on board. Shortening their life for their dog.
The other part about this, you talk about your life quality. Like, what about the pet's life quality? So, like, my wife had a dog that lasted almost 20 years.
Let's just assume.
Blind, bladder control issues. Is this a comfortable life?
Let's just assume that the dog is living a normal life if you extend
it. I'm just torturing them.
Let's assume that they're living a normal, healthy life for an extra 2 years. Not miserable. But that's my point of why you might be willing if you're going
to give up your own. Yeah.
Give up 2 years. If you know you're living until 95 and all of a sudden you give your dog 2 of your years... By the way, who's complaining if you're dying at 93 versus 95? Who's arguing? Nah, who's complaining? You know?
I'll make that.
You'd lock in 93 years old right now. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? I've told you, my thing is, what am I like at that?
Grandpa's 95, still lives on his own. Still lives in his own house.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
If he drives around the corner to the restaurant, that's as far as he'll drive anymore.
Still.
But like, it's not even so much the age. Am I 88 and I can still do everything I need to do? Or am I 90, you know what I'm saying? Or am I 95 and I'm not? Like, it's not even so much the age. The point where someone else has to actually take care of me, I'm talking about doing the basics and wiping my own, you know what?
You're saying you can't, clean yourself?
I'm out at that point. I'm out.
You might have your options here, Cody. Somebody said their cat had her litter on Sunday, and they won't be keeping them all if you want to get one. There you go.
I told you, not until after I come back from this dance trip. I'm not taking on a kitten before we're out of town for like a week and a half.
All right.
Someone says love cats but hate the litter box. And maybe I should teach the cat to go outside.
You know where I'm at on cats. We don't have to get back into that.
Alex says
dogs are the best. Dogs are the best. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. The Chiefs are playing on Christmas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This day again.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into some of the injuries that have been mentioned before from some of you on the text line, actually, and we'll talk about the wide receivers and is there a player out there still that you'd want to bring into camp. I think the room's pretty settled in terms of numbers, but we'll get to that, and I guess one thing we'll talk about, we'll have more of your involvement for those of you that are part of the Chiefs Kingdom Rewards. I guess there's some changes coming. We got some texts and tweets on this yesterday afternoon, and some people were upset, I guess, with some changes. And I'll be honest, Cody and I don't even know a ton about it. And so we'll take your text on it.
Yeah.
We'll get to this. I guess this Kingdom Rewards program is changing, and some of you were very fired up. The local news, I think, ended up doing a story on it last night. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But we learned late yesterday that the Chiefs are going to play on Christmas Day at Arrowhead. It'll be actually Christmas night, I should say, at Arrowhead against the Denver Broncos. So divisional showdown could be a massive divisional game based off of where people are projecting the Broncos to continue to build off of what Bo Nix did. Obviously, the Chiefs are always playing big games late in the year to try to vie for a number one seed or whatever it may be, or could be a game to lock up the AFC West. Could be massive. The game's going to be on
Denver
Amazon.
Denver could be the second best team in the division. That wouldn't be out of the question.
And the game's going to be on Amazon Prime. And in general, would I prefer the Chiefs not to be on Christmas? 1,000%. I would prefer them not to be on that. I will say, out of the other two possible time slots, which the Chiefs were on Netflix, this is the best option. If you tell me that Clark Hunt is going to get his wish and he's going to be on Christmas Day for years and years and years, the night game will be the one I would sign up for every single time. It's prime time, and everybody's family is going to be different with this. I totally get it. But for me, at least, I think it's better you can get your stuff done during the day and either still enjoy watching the game, or maybe you're fortunate enough to go to the game if that's what you want to do, or you have season tickets or whatever, you know, everyone's going to be different versus smack dab in the middle of the day, I think throws off way more of your holiday than if it was at night.
Typically, yes, I would agree. Just from like a personal standpoint, I'd say it probably depends on the person. Some people might have a job that requires them to work Christmas during the day and night was still available for them, and now it kind of runs into a problem. Do we assume now, like next year, we assume the Chiefs are on Christmas Day?
I would have to assume at this point.
Right? We all just 100% assume that now, right?
Yes.
Going into it, I will assume next year when the schedule gets released, the Chiefs will be on Friday, Christmas Day. Wait, it's not like a leap year or anything, is it? So Friday, Christmas Day next year, they'll be on that same, I don't know, time slot, but they'll be in that same window if they've already done it 3 years in a row. What I'm confused about with this is the NFL's, because I've already told you I don't like it, I don't want the Chiefs to play on Christmas Day every year. I'd like it to spread around to other teams and equally punish. I don't know, if you guys think it's a good thing, let other fan bases enjoy it, right? Give other teams the chance to enjoy getting a day on Christmas Day. But
the NFL has said that they're not guaranteeing anybody that that's a lock like it is Thanksgiving, like with Dallas and Detroit. But with that said, I think we recognize when you're the Chiefs right now, they're going to continue to put you in every prime. So they're not on Thanksgiving this year, it sure seems like. Thank goodness.
No, I think they've already announced the day after the Black Friday game, and it's not the Chiefs either.
So, okay, if they're not on Christmas next year, then they're playing on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's one of those deals where you pick your poison, if you will. You're going to be on one of these. I guess I'll ask Chiefs fans, would you rather have Christmas night for another 3 years? Or would you rather be on Christmas Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, for a year or two?
I just like the idea of spreading it around for fan bases, for families, for players. Like, and I get it. Like, everyone, the general argument you get is you signed up for this. Like, you play in the NFL. No NFL player, when he signed every his contract, year, said you have to play on Christmas Day every year. That wasn't a part of the agreement. Yeah, sure, you knew it was a possibility. You'll have to work some nights and weekends and some holidays on occasion. And I'm assuming you thought that when you became a member of the Chiefs digital team or whatever, that was going to be a part of it. There are nights and weekends and some holidays involved. You didn't sign up going into it being like, well, I guess I'll work Christmas every day for perpetuity, or every year in perpetuity.
Yeah.
I don't think you kind of go into it thinking about that. What I'm confused about is the NFL has made it very clear. Like, Roger Goodell got asked about it. We read the story on the air. We talked about it. Where Clark Hunt wanted to become, like we said, the Cowboys and the Lions of Christmas Day. And the league's like, no. We're not doing that. We think it should be. Roger Goodell, in an interview, said, we think it should be in a rotation. And then just gave it to him 3 years in a row. So he obviously doesn't mean that fully. He just means it for like ever.
Yeah, they're
He's not going to put the Chiefs on Christmas Day for 100 years.
They're just not guaranteeing that they're going to become the Cowboys, but on Christmas, or the Lions, but on Christmas, where we know basically now the Lions and Cowboys are locked in, and that's their day. And if you're, I do think if that happened over time, like this conversation we're having, we wouldn't have it every year after a while, right? Like Cowboys and Lions fans, you just grow up knowing, like if you grow up knowing that on Thanksgiving, you're going to, if you're a football fan, at least, and a sports fan, you're going to, in some ways, build your day around the game. That's just, I'm not saying every family's doing that, but a major, if you're a diehard Cowboys fan, I promise you, they're building their Thanksgiving around knowing the Cowboys.
And have for the last 20 years.
And so if it became...
So maybe Chiefs fans are starting to build around.
And if it became a thing, but that's where I think if the Chiefs are going to be on Christmas for another 5-10 years in a row, keep them in one of the slots. Can we, I know the NFL doesn't care, right? But for the fans' sake, put them on Christmas night and stick with it for 5 or 10 years. Don't have it night 1 year and then noon the next year and 4 the next year.
You want to lock it into steady. A slot.
Because for some people, for some Chiefs fans, I'm sure they love this. They're going to say, we're going to get out, we're going to do our presents and everything in the morning and stuff with family. And then by 2 in the afternoon, we're out tailgating and we're ready to go for the game. And they're going to make a whole day out of it. For other people, it's going to make them force them to sell their tickets because they can't do it. It's not, you know what I mean? And some people also don't have the day after Christmas off. So they're like, hey, I can't do a night game because like you're never going to find the perfect scenario for everybody.
There's not a,
other
there's
than
not
having a game on Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then, like you said, there's still people who have to work. So maybe
you see this Texas
maybe
is
be
good.
Off in the other.
Someone's, how about this Thanksgiving Christmas game? Winner stays, plays the following year.
Oh, it's a ball stays on court. Winner stays on.
Well, yeah.
Classic school.
The Lions
rules.
Would have been kicked off many, many years ago.
My God, many for like ago. A decade straight.
Yeah, so were the Cowboys.
They would have probably been off. Winner stays on the court is such a funny way to do it.
Until you lose on Christmas, you're playing on Christmas.
Chiefs probably play a lot of Christmases in a row based on that scenario. They win like 75% of their games under Andy Reid. So if you just put that in a microcosm of like Christmas Day games, I imagine the number's even slightly higher, maybe.
Someone says, let's all act like we love the Christmas Day game. Other fan bases will want to push for their teams and other owners will push
it's
for their
the
teams.
It's the best.
It really is amazing. Yeah. So Chiefs Broncos, we'll find out later in the year, of course, how big of a game it is. There's a chance it could be massive, as we said, with AFC West implications and everything like that.
I'm just anti it for the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
It is a very busy day that I spend a lot of time with family and doing other stuff. I don't need another thing to do, right? I don't need another thing going on that day. Like, it's selfish probably more than anything else. There's my kids and Christmas and presents and building stuff and, you know, whatever else. You know, I got to try to maybe secure a Switch 2 by then. Right, whatever's got to take place.
Actually, see, there you go. So you mentioned your son Desmond earlier about the cat. So he wants to Switch 2, correct? He
very much so, yes.
Can you? You tell me, I'm not a parent. Can you? You want the cat or you want the Switch 2? You don't get both. You choose.
So
Can you do that here?
I'll just be honest with you. I presented this once and I said, which one do you want
more? What'd he say?
He said,
the Switch?
He said, but we can't have both?
No. No. And what did you say? You said no.
I was like, no, man, which one do you want more?
And?
He can't. It's too much. It's too much pressure for him.
They get one.
You know, he either gets
your
the Switch
sake,
2
I hope
or
this
a
is,
cat.
For your sake, it's hopefully the Switch. One has, well, they both have recurring costs potentially, but one is a little more expensive than the other afterwards.
They definitely have, both have recurring costs.
One,
no
though, once your son is
have
playing.
Have you seen the games? They're like $90 for the Switch 2. It's crazy.
But once you have the Switch, there's no maintenance required. You know, the cat, there's upkeep. There's vet appointments. You got to worry if the cat's healthy and all this stuff. The Switch is the Switch.
Is there a version of like, cause here's the issue you really run into with kids. Like the Switch is actually like, I don't mind buying them a Switch game and then normally they get some use out of it, whatever. Like they normally play it quite a bit. Right. So we feel like we get our money's worth. The ones I hate are the request for like Robux. get
the digital currency stuff,
microtransaction, digital currency stuff out of my life.
That's where we're going with it. Unfortunately,
it's been that way for a while now.
That's where we are.
Oh, I know, man.
Even on Madden,
people
spend thousands of dollars
on MUT teams
or
whatever.
Madden Ultimate Team cards. People spend thousands on those. I don't get it. Like, you guys know we talk about. I like trading cards. I don't get the digital Madden team thing and spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on it.
I don't use it, but I've learned to understand it a little bit more. So my wife, she plays some video games. She'll get like free games and then use the currency to get skins or whatever for different characters
people
in the game.
People are paying
or whatever
for the outfit of their character in a video game. They're paying $20 for an outfit on a video game. We sound old right now, but it's ridiculous.
I know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like a lot of it is just the same thing. It should be all encompassing. If I buy the game, I should be able to change my person into all the outfits that are available.
My thing is though, like I
understand they don't do it that way anymore. But I sound like
my
a
thing is why are you spending money to make your character look cooler?
That's the way of the world, man. Yeah. I've never spent a cent in a microtransaction in any game I've ever played, right?
Like I
didn't buy to get like a level skip on Candy Crush, and I haven't bought to buy a skin in any. Like I've never purchased a microtransaction thing for any game I've ever owned. And some of this just way we grew up. If I bought a Super Nintendo game or now there were expansion packs, right? Eventually we ran into stuff like where it's like if you Call of Duty, right? I ran into the early phase of this. You're still playing Call of Duty, you're like, well, if you want the extra maps.
Right. Oh, I bought maps on Rainbow Six before, sure. Yeah.
So, like, I didn't even do that. I was like, you know what? I guess I just don't have this map. So I've never fully bought into it, so it's tough.
That's only the way that I've been, but I've flipped because of my wife. But
all right, back to the Chiefs, though. This is actually one where I really do want the text line involvement because, admittedly, I'm not 100% aware of exactly what might be changing. This is the Chiefs Kingdom Reward Program. And if you've had season tickets, you've built up points. Even if you don't have season tickets, you've built up points. And I saw Fox 4 did a story on this. Some of you tweeted at us yesterday afternoon after the show. We're like, what is going on here? So essentially, I'll just read you some of the article because it explains it well. Some people are upset that the Chiefs Rewards Program, Kingdom Rewards, is changing and it's not going to be point-based anymore. And several Chiefs fans, I guess, had collected hundreds of thousands of these reward points, and then they opened their app and their points were gone. This is based on the article. And season ticket holders would use these sometimes for experiences, Cody, or you could use it to bid on a signed football or maybe a chance to hold the flag before the game, these kind of things. The program, I guess, will no longer be points-based. It's also being renamed. It will be exclusively available only to current season ticket members, not people that had points from even buying single-game tickets. Someone said in this article is quoted as saying they had 464,000 points. It had taken them years to get it and a lot of money, and they were just gone overnight. Basically, you could use points for, let's say, a Chiefs book signed by Clark Hunt was 50,000 points. Okay? And this is stuff that people did. The Chiefs were asked for comment in this article from Fox 4, and they directed them to the landing page for the Chiefs Kingdom Rewards, which says, don't worry, you'll still have access to fantastic opportunities under the new program. It said Chiefs Kingdom Rewards will return later this summer with a new name. Exact details of the program are unclear. Non-season ticket holder version of Kingdom Rewards is being discontinued. So that's all we know right now.
What's some called? Of you are like, very why didn't you warn them?
Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to allow people to still use the points. People are saying the points are gone, but a lot of you were fired up because if you've accumulated points, you thought you could use them for future experiences and you were holding on to them or whatever, and now they're changing their whole rewards program.
I guess I am curious. 913-586-7965. How many of you were using this system?
Yeah.
And I guess executing the part of it that like actually had you get the points. Because like I think we've all been a part of like rewards cards where you're like, oh, sure. I got my Aldi, they don't have it, like Aldi rewards. And you're like, do you ever actually cash in those points? Do you use them regularly? If they were gone, would you notice? But if this were like credit card miles and they just disappeared, because like Southwest, for instance, I think changed like the value of their points. They didn't get rid of their points, but like, you know, you needed more to get a flight or whatever. And people were upset about that. I could see why this would enrage people. Also, why is it only for season ticket members? You got lots of fans who aren't season ticket members.
Well, they're trying to obviously create more.
They're
trying to create more value for the season ticket holder, right? Yeah. But some people spent like 5-7, you know, plus years building up points. Someone says it's sad because they're making so much money. They're just pretty brutal when it comes to the average fan.
My retirement was counting on those points.
Yeah. So I look, I every, you know, some someone said they didn't even know this existed. I do think there's a lot of people that were never part of this Chiefs Kingdom Rewards program. Like, I have a family member that's a season ticket holder. They've used points for signed items before, and they would use it for gifts for their kids or whatever, stuff okay. like that. And they've been
able to
hold.
If you got the points, you use them sometimes.
Yeah, like,
sure.
I know there's some listeners said that they had used it, as I mentioned, before the game. You guys see, whether it's the American flag or even like the Chiefs flag or whatever, you see those fans that get to go out on the field, right? That's an experience you can buy with your points. Now, it sounds like you might still be able to do that in the future, but that will be for season ticket holders with points only, and they're going to create a new system. Go ahead.
Somebody says they're claiming non-season ticket holders' points reset every year anyway.
Okay.
So, like,
okay.
If that's the case, maybe it would impact them less. But again, just taking away a system, like, can you at least give me, like, a month's notice and let me cash in? Put
and
it
maybe,
in for a
and
trip to
will.
Germany. Let me do, you know, like, whatever.
And maybe they will. And maybe that'll be the case that they'll let people that had, let's say, if you had a 500,000 points still, will there be a way for you to still redeem them in a year time frame? And maybe that's the case. Again, I'm just based off of the Fox 4 article right now, that wasn't clear. So interesting. Some of you were fired up about it, so we just wanted to bring
how
it
many
to the air.
Easily, by the way, the best, sorry, easily yeah. the best rewards or any system I am is the Quick Trip app. Saving 25 cents a gallon every time I fill. Yeah. I'm just going to say, this is not a paid promotion. I want to make that very clear. But if you like connect your card in the Quick Trip app, they'll give you 25 cents off a gallon every time you fill up. I don't have to buy anything. No strings attached. It's incredible.
It's as good of a deal as like Sam's Club or Costco
I'm
gives
not,
you almost.
It's as good. So I'm also a Costco member. That's where I had been filling up for the gas tank. Now I can fill up at either. It's roughly the same price because Costco's offering a similar discount. It's fantastic. Again, not a paid promotion. I just really like it.
No, it is. It
do you
is
guys
nice.
Use any others besides that one?
I mean, I have rewards.
Credit card points or whatever.
I mean, I have rewards points even at McDonald's. Like, if I'm going to eat that crap occasionally, I'll scan
oh, really?
The code.
Maybe,
and so,
maybe
like,
I should get the app.
Like, I have points, so occasionally, you know, if you just want a snack or whatever
you
after
get
work.
Like a free
chicken or whatever for 2,000 points or 1,500 points. So
if you spend a dollar on, like, a certain day, you can get a soft drink for free.
You guys
or
know the bar down the street from me I go to. They have a thing every X amount you send. So I have points. I have, like, $15 one day if I want to use it for my next meal or whatever.
Round or whatever.
Round or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I actually think there's nothing wrong with
Cody. I didn't know about this Quick Trip thing.
I'm just telling
because
you.
I have
Alex
app.
Is aware of it. Alex is already on it.
They have their signs are all over at every single Quick Trip.
So I have
you don't.
The app,
you just link your. You link your bank account.
You got to link your credit card or whatever. You know the card you pay with. Mm-hmm. But just as long as you're willing to do that,
that's all you do.
That's it.
And you automatically. You don't have to buy.
I just scan a little QR code at the pump. I put a little gas in there and I'm good to go. 25 cents off, man. No questions asked.
I've got Sam's Club too, but Sam's Club is there's a Quick Trip closer to me. A little bit. Oh, why not go to that? Or there's a Quick Trip nearby the station. That's great. That sounds good.
Somebody says that they, you know, they use because the Quick Trip app will give you like a free hot dog or something sometimes too. I never really check that.
What I was going to ask before is how many other teams have these apps anyways? Like, or these reward systems? Like,
I bet you most teams have some sort of reward type of system, you know, point system for season ticket holders.
I think it's interesting that people don't know. Never knew that it existed, or you would think that that's something that
it was mainly for season ticket holders, mm-hmm. is what it was mainly season ticket holders. But again, you used to be able to get points for just buying single game tickets.
Because now with teams getting apps and everything, I wonder if that's something that they'll promote just having in terms of like content, like, hey, you know, be a part of this, like sign up for the app, and you'll get, and you can, anytime you buy Chiefs tickets through here, you'll get points rewarded that you can use for. Something for games or for merch or you know anything mm-hmm. like that. It's interesting that
there's
I wonder how
people.
Many other teams have that
probably
around because
you don't
see it promoted as much as you would think it would be at least. But
probably all of them. I mean most, but like also I mean based on the text line, there are people who use them, right? I mean there definitely are people who said they use them to.
Well, that's why we brought it up.
The tailgate,
I know some people
to do the
really
flag, to do the
up.
Signed items, like you said, Gold. It's like I'm sure everybody doesn't use them, just like everybody doesn't use the app.
Here's the current rewards apps on my phone. Because each one of these
you got a lot of rewards apps.
Well, because it doesn't mean I'm eating these places all the time.
Sure,
but
sure.
Like, you know, so I have McDonald's app because if I'm going to go there,
the one time I go
there, might as well get points. I have the same. So I have the same thing for Smoothie King, Chipotle, Chick-fil-A.
Oh, man, you sign up for all of them.
Yeah, I have Hawaiian
How
Bros.
How often are you going to
doesn't
Smoothie
mean I'm,
King?
No. Once every couple weeks.
I've got a good amount too, actually.
I have Starbucks.
I don't have nearly this many.
Hawaiian Bros. I have an app for QT.
I don't have as many as Gold does, but I've got some.
It doesn't mean I'm going to these places every week, but like if I'm going to go there, I might as well collect points. So eventually down the road, I have something for free or
like
cheaper.
A free queso or something, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
The free queso is clutch.
Do you just put them in a folder together?
I have one folder on my phone called rewards? Shopping/Rewards. Yeah, my Amazon app is in there. Target app is in there. Yeah.
From the 816, I've got 30 rewards apps on my phone.
Whoa.
A folder with 30 rewards apps.
Man, I don't have anywhere
apps.
Close to that number. Maybe I'm cutting myself short. I'm just bragging about the QuickTrip one.
You have kids. I feel like you'd be all over like the reward points and all this stuff to save some money on
I'm logging
things.
Into my QuickTrip one right now to put this in. I'm about to... I'm
25 cents off.
Come on, man. Who doesn't want 25 cents off a gallon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Talk more about where the Royals are at and an update out of Jefferson City in regards to the stadium. This is a big week for potentially keeping the Chiefs or Royals in Missouri.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.